In our previous conversation before the interview, we talked about the magazines, and you were talking about how the children in the orphanage were aware of the magazines, and how true really were they to what life was like? Because you mentioned it's called the Blue Lyre by former residents.
To be fair, I would say that generally it was a pretty good report on what had been going on. I can't remember now whether they were monthly, 6 monthly, or bi, annually or whatever. But whenever we used to get them as kids, and in fact, one of my brothers used to get them sent to him for years after he left the orphanage, because he had subscribed to orphanage funds and he got the Blue Lyre delivered by post. So we called it the Blue Lyre mainly because there would be certain aspects of the thing that was not quite what we thought had happened. It may have been it was just our version of the events, but I would say generally that the orphanage diary, I think it was quite a truthful document. It did list all the people that subscribed money, and in fact, some people maybe only wanted to subscribe the money to get the name into the document. To be seen to be, a good donator of funds to a good cause. But they did have to tie up the books, and they did have to sort of see how much income they were receiving and what their expenditure was. And I think all in all, it was a very good report, and it was done fastidiously for years and years by the treasurer, who must have spent quite a lot of time devoted to that subject. Later on, there would be photos in it of usually of the children's activities or at holiday homes or whatever, and that was always good, always made good press, because the children doing some activity was always good for the subscribers to see what they were doing. But there were so many different funds that the orphanage had. There were so many different funding arrangements that they had, that they had managed to hook people into and get them to subscribe. Now, bear in mind that it's only recently that we've started to see the diminish of congregations and churches, but back in the 50s and 60s, congregations were large, and people wanted to be seen to be donating to, particularly if it was local, for instance, up in the northeast of Scotland, seen to be donating to their local orphanage or home, children's home.
So in the magazines, going back to them briefly, there's occasionally letters from former residents talking about their memories and what they've got up to. Were you encouraged by the orphanage to write back to them and also to write back to friends who were still in the orphanage at that time?
That's an interesting point, Jennifer. And I was aware, even when I was in the orphanage, that the old boys and girls would write. And in fact, sometimes would sort of say, "Oh, there's so and so. There's, whoever." There might even have been some from my relatives, my siblings. Although I can't say I'd remember that specifically, but there might well have been, because some of my siblings were getting the orphanage magazine as a subscription when they left. So they may well have written in. I personally never ever wrote to the orphanage for the magazine, that is. I never wrote for the orphanage magazine after I left, but I think mainly because I was too busy and other things I was doing, so I hope that answers your question.
Yes, so did you manage to maintain those friendships that you had not just with your colleagues and the former children that were still there, but with your schoolmasters as well?
No, not really, not really. I think I had actually taken the attitude at quite an early life, when one door closes, you leave it closed and you move on to the next. And I've kind of treated everybody that I deal with, and all my jobs and all my different people in my career and my life, I've kind of always done that. Having said that, I've been married to my wife now for nearly 50 years, so I haven't closed that door yet.